This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. In 2013, Ohio's merchandise exports increased by almost 4%, growing to $50.5 billion, which is a record high for the state. The U.S. Commercial Service connects U.S. companies with international buyers, and last year facilitated nearly 15,000 export successes. My guests are Marcia Brandstatt, Director of the U.S. Commercial Service in Cincinnati, and also Zachary Green, who's President and Founder of MN8 Foxfire. And you can join the discussion at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Marcia, so last year was a banner year for Ohio exports.
Absolutely. We're very pleased with these numbers. Ohio is one of 16 states in the country that reported record export sales, allowing for a U.S. all-time record of exports for U.S. goods and services up to $2.3 trillion last year.
Wow. Any ideas what made it such a strong year?
I think it could be a combination of probably getting out of the recent economic crisis downturn, very savvy. Small companies make up the most of our exporting statistics, and having a great job and listening and paying attention and learning and trying to get their products and services overseas. We're real pleased with that.
Yeah, so good businesses do make it a lot easier if you're in the export business. What were some of the top destinations for Ohio exports last year?
For Ohio exports, the top markets we have traditionally clocked in Canada, Mexico, China, and UK as the top four. Countrywide, nationwide, we have seen many 100% increases, 95% increases in countries like Russia, Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, and the UAE, United Arab Emirates.
So, but what's the role of the U.S. Commercial Service? I guess it has a vast network that makes all this possible.
Yes. Here in Cincinnati, we have a U.S. Commercial Service office here in Cincinnati, and we're part of the U.S. Department of Commerce, the federal government, and we're mandated by Congress to help U.S. companies market and sell their products and services overseas. We are located at U.S. embassies and consulates in over 70 countries. And how we're set up is very unique as well. The offices themselves are run by U.S. commercial officers, which are U.S. citizens that are head up the offices. And the staff there, they're made up of what we call foreign service nationals or commercial specialists. And in addition to being from each of those countries, so they're from Mexico, they're from Brazil, they're from the Middle East, they also are assigned industry portfolios to cover to help U.S. companies exclusively market and sell their products and services overseas.
And what are some of the specific services a business can get from U.S. Commercial Services?
Well, I always tell companies to think about how we're set up and what we can do to help you. But a lot of times we find that companies need the same type of service. And one of our most popular services that we provide is something called the Gold Key Service. And this is essentially a personalized trade mission for companies where we will help them identify, or maybe they have an idea already where they want to go internationally. And we basically take out all the mystery unknowns. We will go and we will vet potential partners for them. We will set up the meetings. We can help with their hotel stays, transportation, interpreter services if they need to. And if requested by the U.S. company and we have time, our colleagues overseas will go with them on the appointments as well.
And so you can help a company deal with cultural differences and language differences that might otherwise be a barrier to doing exports.
Absolutely, especially since these commercial specialists are natives of these countries. They've grown up in the culture and know not only the language, but definitely, as you mentioned, the business culture as well.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. You can also email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Zach, tell me the story about how your company has benefited from working with the U.S. Commercial Service.
Certainly. About 3 years ago, I started the company here in Cincinnati out of the trunk of my car, and never in my wildest dreams would believe that I'd actually be overseas working with the U.S. Department of Commerce and selling. But there were three real things that I think Marsh and her team brought to the table that gave us tremendous success here in the last few months with M&8 Foxfire. The first one was the planning phase. Marsha came into my office the first time I met with a stack of about 4 inches of paper, and she spread them all over my desk, and I'm looking at 40 different countries, and she said, "Where do you want to start?" And I said, "I don't know."
What a great series of choices there.
And it really was. We had Australia, we had the Middle East, we had the Asia Pacific Asian countries, and we started to narrow down. What do you want to do, Zach? Tell me about your product. Tell me the areas that we want to focus on. And we narrowed it down to the Middle East, and specifically in the Middle East, we looked at Dubai and Abu Dhabi. From there, we went ahead and started to put together a game plan, had a numerous series of conference calls and conversations with boots on the ground, actually, over there in those respective countries. Set up the meetings that were tremendous, and those people not only help set up the meetings, but they help with the strategy. There's some very unique differences in dealing with these different countries, and they set up meetings with both the military, civil defense, and those individual companies that we wanted to do business with. And so that way, when we met with those companies, we let them know, hey, we've already met with the general at Civil Defense, and he's already approved it. These are things I would have never been able to think of if I'd gone on my own. Not to mention, I would never even been able to get those appointments had I gone on it on my own. The real value was they were setting up appointments not for M&8 Foxfire. They were setting up appointments as the U.S. Embassy that has one of their citizens that wants to do business in this country. And for a small startup company like myself to have the full support and backing of the U.S. government behind me when I went overseas actually made me feel good about all those tax dollars that I have had to spend over the last couple of years.
Zach, you'll illuminate me on the products that your company makes.
Certainly. We utilize an advanced photoluminescent pigment. Think of it as a glow-in-the-dark on steroids. Our original target market was helping firefighters identify each other in dark, smoky environments. And as the company has seen tremendous success and growth here in these first couple of years, we decided that we really wanted to diversify our company both domestically and overseas to help both from a growth strategy standpoint, but also as a protection standpoint in case somebody ultimately wanted to compete against us. And I'm a firm believer that it really doesn't matter how great your products are. What matters is how good your marketing, your distribution, and your sales are. And I can't do that by myself. I'm a small company, but again, to have services like the U.S. Commercial Services and the Department of Commerce help me to promote these products makes me look a lot bigger than we actually are.
How have your products been accepted overseas?
Well, it's been tremendous. We're one of our challenges is we don't have to show that we have a better widget. We have to show that our widget is something no one's ever thought of. We utilize a photoluminescent pigment to put it into stairwells, into exit signs. People have never even heard of this. And I'm very confident that if I can spend 30 seconds with somebody inside of a dark room and show my products, almost every one of them buy. The problem is, how do I get 30 seconds in front of you to show you how this technology works? And because I was able to get those appointments set up, literally everyone we had in the 4 days that we were over there in three different countries, we visited 15 different companies. And our challenge was at the end of the trip was which one of those 15 we were going to do business with, because they all wanted to do business with us. And it was just the mere fact that I was able to get in front of those people and demonstrate these products, that appointment is usually the most difficult thing to get, both here in the U.S., but overseas, it just flat out would have been impossible to get those appointments.
So when you're selling in other countries, are you selling to government agencies, fire and rescue? Are you dealing with private companies? Or?
Well, the way it works in the Middle East, and each country is a little different, you have to have the full support of the civil defense, which is a combination of the fire service and the military. You can't even sell a light switch cover without having a certification with civil defense. To have the U.S. Government set up that appointment with that respective general with civil defense was critical for us. And again, this is a high-ranking military general. And we were able to get their blessing ahead of time that said, yes, we like your products. We will endorse your products. So then we went to meet with the commercial sectors. We were able to say, we've already met with General so-and-so. He's already given his approval. And the fact that I'm a firefighter and that we're a firefighter-based company, it certainly helped out a lot because we're dealing with their equivalent of the fire marshal over there.
So I guess when it comes to the value that you got from U.S. Commercial Service, that they helped you with contacts and with getting past language, cultural barriers, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, we had one time in one of the trips where we ended up in a dead end, and we're in an area that's about 10 miles from the Saudi Arabian border. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, geez, if I was here by myself, I would not feel real comfortable. But we have a driver that had been vetted out. I had a liaison from the embassy that was with us. And it just kind of gives you that little bit of safety and security that you know that someone's got your back, gosh forbid, if something were to happen. But more importantly, they're setting up these appointments that there's just no way a U.S. company would be able to set these appointments up on their own.
Marcia, can you talk about maybe a most unusual product success internationally or maybe what you might be considered to be a huge success through your program?
Ohio is very unique and interesting because there are so many industries here and so many interesting products. And it runs the chemical industry, automotive, all the way over. I'm meeting with a company that this week that makes glitter for the face for little kids. And that sounds like a very interesting, unique product. And ironically enough, she's getting a lot of international inquiries. So we want to be there to help her and be able to make sure that she's able to not only make the sales, but meet all the government regulations and documentation and everything that's required for international governments.
So I guess you'll assist companies of any size. It's not just large companies. Is that the case?
No, and we actually specialize in what we call small and medium-sized businesses. Employees of 500 or less is our usual definition. We find that the large companies, while we can help with certain situations, they already have the international divisions and they have their subsidiaries. We specialize in the small companies because the marketing services that we provide and the assistance that we provide allow them to take care of their day-to-day business activities while we're on the ground overseas, making the international business happen for them.
So would you say that the growth opportunities are with the smaller and the medium-sized companies?
Absolutely. One of the statistics that we have is this in 2011 from the state of Ohio, 16,000, almost 17,000 companies exported from Ohio. And of that amount, 90% of them were actually small businesses.
Now, can you tell a company up front, if they come in and they say, we're interested in doing this, do you usually consult with them and say, this product really just wouldn't work in an international market? Has that ever happened?
It does happen from time to time. What's interesting is we are actually rated on company successes. Some of our services, we do charge cost recovery fees, but in the end, we are only rated on whether or not a company makes that sale or they sign that contract with a new partner and somehow they were able to say that we help them in some way. So it's the same with our overseas colleagues. And if we don't believe that a market exists for a certain company, we will actually let them know that.
Now, how many companies have you worked with successfully from here in the greater Cincinnati area?
Hundreds, possibly thousands. I've been here in Cincinnati myself since about 2008. We've been located in Cincinnati for just under 30 years now. So it's unfortunately, we've been taglined as the best kept secret in government. We're trying very hard to change that. And we do find that companies that do work with us on the whole have a very good experience with us.
Do you think the U.S. Commercial Service had a key role in the export growth in Ohio and nationally last year? Do you think you're one of those best kept secrets? Do you think you were pushing that up some?
And absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
No.
Go ahead and brag.
I would like to think that it was definitely because of some of the things that we do to help companies that we were a key player in that. We specialize in the marketing aspects and helping find those partners, but we do full background checks on companies. We do technical seminars. We help them participate in trade shows. We help them with regulations, documentation. Every country is different, and we are in over 70 countries worldwide. So I think we actually really do have to take credit, and I think we did make a difference.
Now, every country is different, and every product is different as well, and every company is different. So you really have to be good at figuring out what whose needs match up and whose products match up with those types of things. And
absolutely. Here in Cincinnati, I call myself a jack of all trades and master of none. But like I said before, it's really our overseas colleagues with the commercial specialists that have those industry expertise. So I can be here in Cincinnati and meet with the different companies, the different industries, and the different areas, and identify that right person within our organization in that country to work with, and that's how we get some business going.
From each of you, what advice do you have for companies that want to start exporting what they make? Zach, what's your advice?
Well, the first one's call Marcia up. I can tell you unequivocally that our success was 100% due to the work that Marcia and her colleagues did. We closed a deal within the last couple of weeks that was larger than the amount of money we made in the first 2 years here in the United States, and that was just one deal over in Dubai. The recommendation I would have is make sure you've got a really good value proposition. Be proud that you're a U.S.-made product. When we went over there, we were a little concerned that we have Made in USA and all of our materials, and they actually said that people will pay a premium for Made in USA products over in UAE in the Middle East rather than the other way around. So be proud of that, and having that whole support of the government behind you is tremendous. But don't hold back. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and if you think you've got a great idea but you're not willing to go ahead and risk a little bit to go out there and try it, they're not going to probably come to you. You have to go after them, and you have to go after them in a way that's going to be unique and that works in that culture. And sometimes it's very difficult for you to do that directly. You need a liaison.
Marcia, what's your advice?
I'd say I can boil it down to three things: patience, flexibility, and follow-up. People, Americans are known for having the impatience and wanting to make a deal, you know, right away. They'll schedule their appointments and they expect to, you know, have that meeting on time and make that deal within the first 5 minutes. And, you know, a lot of cultures just don't work that way. So that's going to take patience. I say also flexibility too, because again, people want to go to a country and meet with them when they want to meet with them. And a lot of times, you know, we're finding that in addition to, you know, going as Zach did to the Middle East, you know, there's not just one country over there. So we want to do multiple markets. And that does take a while to set up and plan and schedule. So just be flexible and kind of roll with it. And the follow-up, I get a lot of questions when I'm first meeting with companies, and they want to know the hard statistics on, you know, how many gold keys have you done and how many have worked out for you? And I can always say, you know, as long as we do our job, we're putting in front of you the people, the partners that you say you want. It's going to take follow-up and make sure that you keep in touch, make sure that you go out there to that country and meet with these companies and develop that relationship. It's all in the follow-up and building of relationships as well.
Zach, are you thinking of expanding outside the Middle East at any point?
Oh, absolutely. We've done about 6 gold key services. We're getting ready to set up a trip to Malaysia here in the next few weeks, which is interesting, as Marsh and I were talking before we found out, that's one area that's seen explosive growth, mainly because of the oil exploration that's occurring over there. We're not going to go to any other country without the commercial solutions behind us, no question about it.
And Zach, I'd have to think that selling internationally requires a little more support here at home, shipping, tracking, paperwork. Have you added to your staff and your facilities as a result of this?
We have. There's actually a wonderful company in town, Bannockburn Securities, that helps with international trade of financials, just simple things you don't think about. You just can't say, okay, we're going to charge you this many dollars and you transfer it. They have to have that money come from their currency, translate to our currency. A simple wire transfer is not that simple. There's a lot of different things that come into play there. I would like to piggyback on something Marcia talked about with patience. Typically here in the U.S., when we do a meeting, we'll set up an appointment, we'll small talk for about 30 seconds, and we get right down to business. And within 20 minutes, we've got the whole deal taken care of. The first appointment I had over in Abu Dhabi, they were supposed to pick me up at the hotel at 10. At 11:45, they showed up.
Okay. So patience is a key here. Well, thanks to both of you for joining me this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. Marcia Brandstad is the director of the U.S. Commercial Service in Cincinnati, and Zachary Green is president and founder of MN8 Foxfire.